Does intercessory prayer for others really work? Hello, welcome to Good Word, a program dedicated to exploring biblical themes. This week, our discussion focuses on discipleship and prayer. My name is John Dibdahl, and with me are Dan Solis, author of our lessons and pastor, and Paul Dibdahl, Dr. Paul Dibdahl, a professor of theology at Walla Walla University. Gentlemen, thank you again to both of you. Welcome. Glad you're here. Glad I don't have to do all the talking. Let's offer a brief word of prayer as we begin. Father in heaven, we come before you recognizing that prayer is a wonderful privilege you've given to us. And as we talk about it and study it today and think about its meaning in our lives, I pray that you will touch each of us with a message that you want us to receive and to share. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Our lesson this week follows on the first two topics, which emphasize, to begin with, the fact of the Bible's authority, which we talked about 2 weeks ago, and then leading others using parable, metaphor, and story, which we talked about last week. This lesson talks about prayer, particularly intercessory prayer, as a key to seeing change in lives, and in particular, leading others to faith. We must move out of the mode of only praying for our own needs alone and in love move on to intercede for others and their salvation. So, we have this lesson which is talking about prayer. That's a huge topic. We could have actually spent the whole quarter on prayer. So, having just a few minutes to talk about it here, we can only scratch the surface, but I think it's an important topic at least to mention briefly. How important is intercessory prayer? Because that's the kind of prayer I think you're emphasizing mostly in this lesson, Dan. Should this be most of our prayer be intercession, or should some of it be intercession? And exactly how does it work with discipleship?
And by intercession, we mean prayer for others, right? Prayer on behalf
of
others.
I should have probably asked what the definition of that term would be first.
But it's so, prayer for other people.
Yeah, intercession means basically praying for other people, interceding on behalf of other people before God. That's how I would understand it.
Sorry, back to your
No, that's good. No, keep me honest here, group. That's what we're doing this for. But I'm just curious. You're obviously interested. You wrote this lesson. How important, how much of our prayer life should this be? And
I've never thought of it proportionately.
Oh, okay.
I don't know how to answer the question that way.
But maybe it'll get you started.
But I think it's important that we do pray simply because Christ told us to pray, to pray for others. And I think in many ways it is the quintessential expression of prayer because so many times prayers that we offer – are Santa Claus prayers. Okay. God, I want this. God, I want that. God, I want the other. In the 70s, we had Janis Joplin singing, "Lord, won't you buy me a Mercedes-Benz?" So much prayer is just self-centered. Intercessory prayer gives us an outward focus.
Yeah. And I would say, too, along with that, praise, thanksgiving, worship toward God is a key part of prayer.
Mm-hmm.
As well.
Absolutely.
To start out. So I don't know.
Mm-hmm. I think it's important, though, when we think of intercessory prayer, to realize that this is not manipulation. We cannot manipulate other people into doing what we want through prayer. Mm-hmm. Some people think that if I pray for somebody, they're going to have to make a decision for Christ. This isn't the way that it works.
Okay. It's not a magical kind of thing that just automatically does it. Okay. As I looked at the biblical passages that we had today in our lesson, Daniel 9 struck me. It's Daniel praying for his people. And something struck me in that. How does he start out? He doesn't start out by saying, God bless these people, help these people.
Confession
he
of sin.
Confession confesses the sins of the people.
And his own.
Yeah. And I thought that was kind of an interesting thing. When I was taught about intercessory prayer, it was basically to pray for good things to happen to people. I don't remember being taught to confess their sins before God. That should happen. So anyway, is there anything in anything else in these core texts or key words that we have that you think in the time that we have it's important for us to look at and emphasize? Is there something there, Paul?
Well, I looked at those passages from Daniel. Of course, Daniel is a very well-known prophet of the Old Testament. He's taken as a prisoner to Babylon, and in really amazing kinds of ways comes to be an influential political diplomatic figure there, and then has adversaries that try to get him into trouble, and one of the things they want is to stop his prayer life. They don't want him to pray to God, and just his seeming unconcern, prayer was so much a part of his life that it didn't matter that he literally faced death. It seems like he could have just prayed, you know, quietly or in his own mind with his eyes open or whatever, but he maintained his prayer habit regardless of what external forces tried to bring upon him. And to me, that itself is a kind of inspiration, and not just inspiration, but in some ways discouraging to think how a busy day for me can kind of throw off my prayer schedule, so to speak. But just the consistency of his life, and then you see what God did with that kind of life. God did amazing things through him, and I have to think that part of that was because of that regular connection that Daniel simply would not let go of, his prayer connection with God.
I was debating whether I should bring it up, but you opened the way by that statement about him. It does mention here in Daniel 6 that he prayed three times a day. We know the Jews in the time of Christ prayed three times a day. What do you think about that? Do you think that we should follow that kind of practice, or would that be helpful, or is that asking too much, or is that just what Daniel did and we don't need to do? Does this tell us anything? What do you think?
Well, if we think of prayer as an ongoing conversation with God, it would not necessarily be limited to three times
a
day.
It would be more than three. Okay.
And I think that's
Muslims
the best
way. Muslims do five times a day.
They do five. Well, we're getting there. I think that we understand that God is open to us anytime, day or night, and that we can share what our deepest concerns are with him.
Okay. Well, I think that sometimes, you know, our day is so structured that God doesn't have much of a part of it. We may have some kind of devotion in the morning and that be it. I don't think that we have to pray three times a day, but I think that it would be very helpful to remind us that God is in control and who we are. And even if it's just for a short period of time, I think that's a helpful thing to do.
Yeah, and I do think that regular times of prayer, or at least prayer connected with some of the regular daily activities of our life, even if it's not tied directly to a clock. So, for example, I think the habit of prayer in connection with a meal, I think that's a wonderful habit to either maintain or begin, to thank God for the food that he provides for us. I mean, that might not happen at exactly the same time every day, but to incorporate prayer as a regular part of our life, I think, is biblical and a wonderful thing.
Yeah.
I think it's important also, when we're talking specifically about intercessory prayer, is to recognize that God calls us to intercessory prayer. Even though we may not always understand the process, many people ask the question, well, if I pray, is that going to make God love them more? Is he going to be doing more for them if I pray? That doesn't seem to make sense. I don't understand all the answers. I don't have all the answers to those questions, but I do know that God calls us to pray for others. And I might add that there are lots of things that I do throughout my day that are regular routines. I don't understand, not being mechanical, how my car works. I don't understand how a microwave oven works. There are lots of things that I use and do every day, and I don't understand, but I know that they work. And I know that God calls us to pray. Whether or not I know all the inner workings or how it's going to work out.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad you brought that up, because that's the question I posed at the beginning of this lesson. Does it really work? And you're saying that maybe that's the wrong question to ask. You think it works probably because Jesus calls us to do it. Well, not only that, not only does he call us to do it, what in our lesson, what does he do?
Well, Jesus models it for
us. That's right, he models it.
We have in John a record of his prayer actually for us. He prays for those that will come to believe in him in the future. And so those of us who have come to be followers of Jesus, he prayed for us. So he models intercessory prayer. And I would just sort of piggyback, Dan, on that mysterious part. I don't think it's hardly wise for us to pretend that we understand everything about the mystery of prayer. Mm-hmm. And I think it's okay to be okay with the mystery.
That's right.
And I think as we do pray for people, it's in the process of doing that we begin, in some ways, our faith is somehow built that God is hearing and responding, even though we can't always predict or explain that process.
That's right. Well, I think in the process of praying for other people, we are changed.
Sure.
Absolutely.
Not only, are people changed, we're changed. And I would resonate with what you said about Jesus' prayer. That struck me as I was reading it. Usually we think of Jesus' high priestly prayer for the disciples. But you pointed out, Paul, that it's for us. In other words, that we're here believing is partly an answer to Jesus' intercessory prayer, which goes on, which seems to say to me that maybe even my prayers interceding may possibly be for future generations. Children, grandchildren, if he interceded for people that will believe because of that, we, it seems, could intercede for that as well. So certainly Jesus' model and Jesus' call is for us to intercede on behalf of other people, and I think that's a powerful thing for us to remember. So thank you, Paul. Thank you, Dan, for your willingness to share with us today. Thank you to Chad Ofterhauer, our program engineer. Chad, we appreciate what you're doing. If you want to see past, or hear, I should say, past episodes of The Good Word, see the Walla Walla University website, follow the links to the School of Theology and The Good Word. May God bless you. For The Good Word, I'm John Dibley.
You've been listening to Good Word, a production of the School of Theology at Walla Walla University and KGTS-FM. To order a copy of today's broadcast, you can call 509-527-2194. Thanks for listening, and we'll be here next week at this time with Good Word.